Chapter 54. Before he left the station, Jesse told Gabe to stay on Feeney's phone. They both knew how many dead zones there were in Paradise. He could still be in town and hold up, with Candace and the phone, in one of those zones. Feeney was a tech guy, though they had no way of knowing how good he was. Maybe he knew the possibilities of enhanced GPS, whether a phone was turned on or not. Maybe not. Or maybe he was already in some remote area nowhere near Paradise and had ditched his phone and hers. Maybe when he said he was going somewhere where Bo couldn't find him, he meant somewhere they couldn't find him. If it was him, though, he'd made a mistake. These mutts always did. Then they'd find him. Check that, Jesse told himself. I'll find him. Lot going on in our sleepy little town, Gabe Weathers said. Have I ever mentioned that I don't like being lied to? Jesse said. He still didn't know where Bo fit. Maybe he'd never been in it. Maybe he was dead, like Troy Drake. Or maybe Feeney was still Bo's bitch, and they'd been in on it together. Maybe they'd missed on Jesse, Molly, and Suit, and were raising their game as they went along. In the end, Jesse told himself it didn't matter. Even Paul Hutton didn't matter right now. All that mattered right now was that Candace Pennington needed saving again. There was a dumpster in the small parking lot behind Feeney's office. No other cars. Jesse got out and tried the door handle. Locked. He took his gun out and used the butt end to break the window. Reached through, unlocked it. Maybe there was a silent alarm, maybe not. Didn't matter. Jesse didn't care either way. If it wasn't Feeney, he'd pay for the window later. If Feeney did have Candace, this was no time to dick around. It was just two small, stuffy rooms, no AC. There was an empty desk in what looked like a reception area. Molly and Sonny said there had been no sign of an assistant when they'd been there, no reference to one. They hadn't seen Feeney's office. Jesse walked into it now, went through the drawers of his desk. There were some pens and index cards in the top left. In the middle drawer were a couple of credit card receipts, both from the Gull. He took them, folded them neatly, and stuck them in the breast pocket of his shirt. More credit card records for Suit to check out. Jesse imagined his excitement. Jesse knew Feeney had been in this office as recently as a few days ago, but it still felt abandoned to him. No landline, no laptop, no computer, no iPad. Molly said he'd taken a call while they'd been with him, saying he had to get to a job. But where? With whom? Business did not appear to be booming at KF Audiovisual Services. If there was any business at all. The picture that Molly had mentioned of the woman Feeney said was his wife was on the wall in the reception area. Jesse walked back to study it more closely. Young blonde woman, smiling at the camera, standing in front of a tree, more trees behind her. She could have been anywhere. Where was she? Who was she? Maybe someone Kevin Feeney had just photoshopped into his fantasy life. Had he cleared out because he was afraid Bo was coming for him? Or had he been hiding in plain sight all along? Maybe it had been Candace Pennington he wanted, and Jesse had done everything except deliver her to him, gift-wrapped. Jesse checked the file cabinet next to the window. Empty. He sat down behind Feeney's desk, thinking about lies now, and the way people told them, even when talking to a cop. Knowing from experience how often they folded truth into their lies, making them easier to manage. Almost like they were using truth to prop up the lies. Drake was dead. They couldn't find Bo or Candace. For now, all they had was Feeney. Jesse slammed his right hand hard on the desk. The sound like the crack of a bat in the empty office. Think, he told himself. You were supposed to think more clearly now that you were clean and sober. That's what they told you in the books and in the meetings. You started to get better as soon as you put down the drink. Just maybe not smarter. He sat there now and remembered how he'd feel when he'd wake up hungover. One of those mornings when he wasn't sure if he was waking up or coming to, knowing that the cop, the chief, who loved being in control, had been out of control again. Feeling weak, scared, as afraid of today as he was of last night. Helpless sometimes. He felt that way now. Think, goddammit! He leaned back in the swivel chair and closed his eyes. Feeney's imaginary wife could have lived anywhere. But he'd said Vermont. Maybe that was where he'd slipped up. Maybe thinking they'd never check. Truth in a lie. He went out the back door and got behind the wheel of the Explorer. He called Suit and read him the number on the credit card receipt.
"Another credit card check?" Suit said. "You're shitting me."
"Do I sound like I am?"
"No, sir," Suit said. "Looking for anything in particular?"
He told him and told him to ask Molly to call the tax people in Vermont, or whoever up there could get her access to property records, and see if Kevin Feeney owned any property in the state.
"And tell them it's exigent circumstances, am I right?" Suit said.
"Look at you," Jesse said. Then Jesse called Dix.